Episode 8, The Birth of a New Kind of Information-Driven Journalism. I'm Peter Wilkinson, and The Future of Journalism is a series presented by the Alliance for Journalist Freedom in Australia, exploring where journalism should be heading. Nabiha Sayed is at the forefront of strengthening journalism by better harvesting the information on the internet. Forbes magazine called her one of the best emerging free speech lawyers. And in 2016, she was named as a 40 under 40 rising star by the New York Law Journal. Prior to a stint on BuzzFeed, she was the First Amendment Fellow at the New York Times. Nabiha is now president of a New York organization called The Markup. And The Markup describes itself as a new kind of media organization staffed with quantitative journalists who pursue data-driven investigations. So Nabiha, how would you like to see the future of journalism in 15 to 20 years?
In 15 to 20 years, the dream is that we'll have journalism rooted in facts, rooted in data, rooted in science, and we'll have audiences that don't just get their news from one place. They'll get it from an array of places that they trust that, again, are rooted in those facts. And I think that is the future we'd like to aspire to, so people can make informed decisions about the world around them.
So tell me how The Markup fits into that future scenario.
So The Markup is a nonprofit newsroom that investigates how technology is reshaping the world around us. And we investigate the technology you know, Facebook, Apple, and Google, and the technology you don't know, tenant screening algorithms, the way algorithms decide who gets to be an Uber driver or work in a particular way. And in order to do that work, what we do is that we build these tools that rigorously look at the data on these platforms. So not just, oh, we interviewed two or three people and got this, or talked to one source or looked at five web pages. We will do things like we examine 88,000 web pages and then deduce some conclusion for the public. And when we do that, we'll build a tool to collect data. We'll send it out to the tool and its results, our hypotheses and our initial conclusions to experts to say, what do you think about our methodology of how we built this? What do you think about the tool we designed, and have them kick the tires, tell us where we're right, wrong, could improve. And then when we publish, we show our work. So the public can trust us. They can trust the method, even if they don't know who we are.
So you say you show the public how you collate the data. How does that actually work in practice on the page?
So we will link to something at the top of all of our investigations that say, click here for our show your work. And you just click onto it and you can see a full methodology. If you really want to get into the weeds, we link to our GitHub, our code repository, so you can even go and take the code and try to replicate the results yourself. Of course, that's not for everybody, right? That's not for everyone to do. I'd love to be in 20 years in the future and everyone has sort of the code literacy and the numeracy to do that. But for now, we just make it public, make it available, and make it transparent. And we do, in fact, have policymakers and technologists engage on that frontier. For those who don't want that, we have a long explainer in plain English of here's what we did, here's how we built it, here's how we checked it, and here's how we think our work is really built around the scientific method.
And you're confident that, if you like, algorithm-driven journalism is going to increase trust?
I would say I think transparency-oriented journalism is what builds trust. I think we have to recognize that the public doesn't necessarily trust journalists. They don't trust the media, in part because they don't understand what it is. And for us, that means we are very transparent about the methodology that we have. I'd encourage other media outlets to be transparent about the methodologies they have too.
Yeah, no, I get the transparency, and I don't think you'll get anybody who will balk at the idea of more transparent journalism to generate trust. I'm wondering about the foolproofness, if you like, of the data.
It's a great question.
As you know, put three scientists in a room and you'll get four different opinions.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I think the approach to data is just to say, we believe that when we talk about systems like Facebook or systems like an algorithm, the anecdotes that may go some way in traditional journalism, like 3 or 4 anecdotes just doesn't rise to the level of data, no matter how you slice it. So we want to push it further and really encourage the standards to be, you have to do a bit more work. I think the transparency aspect comes in there because while it's true, you can have 3 scientists who come out with 4 opinions, at least there's some basis for that dispute to happen, to say, okay, here's this methodology. I might've done it this way. I might've done it that way, but at least there's something that we can look at, agree upon, and begin the conversation of knowledge creation from.
So then take a New York Times journalist in 2021. What you would like in 2025 is that journalist to be using an algorithm as the basis of his or her research, say in Uber drivers was the example you used, mm-hmm. and from that then go interview people and say, this is the data we've put together, can I have your comment? Is that correct? Am I on the right track?
Yeah, I think that's the right track. Now, when we talk about algorithms and algorithmic sort of governance of our world, I think this is the way forward. You have to sort of meet the technology with your own technology and really build that kind of rigor into it. It might not map onto reporting about, you know, a local school procedural hearing, for example. But when we talk about tech, I do think that that's the ammunition we need to bring to the table.
Well, it would also work for policy formulation too, because the policy formulation would be based... It would be harder to argue ideology if you've got the data to back you up.
Exactly. That's exactly the theory. It just moves the terrain of debate from ideology or opinion to, look, these are the facts we have. If you want to come with better data, that's a discussion we can have. But right now, these conversations happen in the absence of hard data, or at least something close to it.
Yes, the challenge you'll have is, well, as Kellyanne Conway said, there are alternate facts. You can get the facts to fit your story.
That's true. We'd like to say, though, that when you're talking about that level of facts, you know, the difference between getting 8 facts and then facts from 88,000 websites, just a little bit of a different tone and tenor, you know.
So the next step on from that is that you'll start getting the algorithm, having done the research and trawled the internet, that the algorithm will actually start writing the story.
That could be a future, but I would like to believe that the importance of human judgment, of understanding what is a compelling story. You know, you can have all of the data in the world. Sometimes in order for that story to really connect with people, because we're all people making changes at the end of the day, is gonna be a human face for that story. The trick, of course, is finding an actual lived experience that's exemplar of some part of the data that doesn't distort the conclusion. And that's the magic of having savvy journalists and editors, you know, being faithful to what the facts are. I wonder whether algorithms would be able to make that same sort of identification or whether they would just spit out a chart. And I'd like to believe there's still room for humans in 20, 25 years.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering if we have a repeat of the Trump scenario that we've had over the last 4 years, whether the algorithm will actually make a substantial change, or this trawling of the internet for the assembly of data will make a massive difference, except we'll get stronger arguments and greater polarization on both sides.
The polarization question is an interesting one, but I believe that polarization in part happens because we live in different universes of facts, right? So at the Markup, we built a tool called Citizen Browser. What Citizen Browser does is that we have a representative sample of the United States, Trump voters and Biden voters, blacks and whites, men and women, and many other flavors besides. And we ask them to log into Facebook just once. And through that, we extract actually all the stories that are being presented to them through the Facebook algorithm. And we've created a dashboard called Split Screen where you can see that difference. The difference is clear that Trump voters and Biden voters live in a different universe of facts. They're being presented different stories with different angles. And I think for us, identifying exactly what that looks like and saying, here, this isn't just my opinion. It's not Kellyanne Conway's opinion or mine. This is what it looks like when you have 2,000 people in a sample and their worlds are totally different. So I would say that I think our data-driven approach helps pierce the bubble of polarization to say, this is starting in alternate realities and we have to start to unify those facts together.
Moving forward 15 years, of course, we're going to be in a completely different information age in 15 years, given that the growth is going to be faster than it was in the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. Can you see how you're, do you see yourself at the beginning of something?
We do. We see ourselves at the beginning of not only a journalistic discipline, but I would say we have to remember that journalism is one part of the democratic information economy. Civics is another component of it, right? Civics in the US context. So we take civics class that theoretically is supposed to teach you about how government works. What is civic public participation look like? What does it mean to have the responsibility and the ability to vote? And journalism helps, but it needs those other pieces to work. And I think in the future we're walking into, where computers, algorithms, technology is making so many decisions about our lives, we need people to understand that reality and then have not only literacy, but also numeracy behind it. We need to understand, have better education around, well, what does it mean when something says 70% of people believe this, or that this vaccine is 95% effective? What does that actually mean? So I think journalism, our type of journalism, can do a lot of work. I think it has to be part of, we're seeing a lot of developments in this frontier, a broader educational push also to help give the context to understand this journalistic work. But I think we are going in that direction.
Yeah. So I wonder about the pressure to actually take journalism out of the equation. A few years ago, people needed journalism to actually get information because the only source of information was really fairly limited television, newspapers, and radio. Relatively limited. Now there is so much information that can be Googled despite mm-hmm. journalists. And just take the information we can get now on how to get our vaccination. You can really bypass mm-hmm. journalists altogether. And in some ways it's more accurate to bypass journalists altogether and go to the government websites for the best contemporary advice. I'm just wondering if your mining of data, if we aren't doing journalists out of a job?
It is a great question. And I think the key to the future, I imagine, actually depends on something you just said in an earlier question. There will be more and more information available at our fingertips. There'll be more and more information from a variety of untested sources. And I think, I hope I am not the only one. Our audience research indicates I'm not the only one. People feel overwhelmed. You Google something and you're like, well, this site says this site says that, this site says something else. What do I do? And so you have people who gravitate back to their networks of knowledge, like ask a friend, is this the right website for this? And I think that's where journalism really has its opportunity, right? You want to become the trusted interlocutor to say, yes, the wild, wild west of information is quite a lot, but we're going to synthesize it for you. We're going to present something that's digestible for you. And we are going to give that. You can trust us. But that requires doing a lot of trust building work with your audience, a lot of very focused outreach. It's not a write it and they will come. It means that you really have to be very thoughtful about cultivating your audience. And I think of it almost like we've had the experience of walking into huge libraries, right? Stacks on stacks of books. You know the information is there, but you still go to the librarian to ask for help on where to start. I think that's what the role journalists can play. We can be that filter when the whole world is so unimaginably overwhelmed with information, which will only continue to happen.
Yeah, so you're an optimist or a pessimist?
I'm such an optimist. Doesn't it show through? I'm such an optimist about the future of journalism. I think it will undergo great change, and I don't think everyone will make it, to be very honest, right? I think there's a lot of ways of doing things that won't carry forward. For example, I think a lot of the historical kind of both sides journalism, this side says this side says that, you decide whatever you want. I think people are realizing that not only is that unsatisfactory, the both sides often, neither side really relies on enough. And also there's more than two sides to any issue. I think there is a demand for deeper, better investigated narrative and explanatory journalism. So I think there's a category of press coverage, the horse race coverage, that won't make it. I don't think people need it. But the deeper work, uncovering truth, I think that has a place for sure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.